Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. I'm Christian Warren, and with me is Megan Jade. Megan, how are you?
I'm great, Christian. How are you?
I am good. Now, it just makes me so sad to say that Sarah Wells is not here with us today.
She isn't.
She is in Israel.
Boring.
I don't know. I'm actually super jealous.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay? All right, let's not talk about it. I did actually talk to Sarah today.
Did you?
She Skyped a bunch of us in the office, and she said, Tell all our Spoutcast fans and listeners, which is at this point in the thousands, that she says hello. So hello from Israel.
I just feel like I got really offended just now.
When
Sarah Skypes all the people in the office, but... Skype.
Let me rewind here.
Yeah,
a second.
Please do.
All right, let me rewind.
I'm the offended friend here.
Sarah did not Skype us in the office. Jordana, who's a staff member at the well, she Skyped us, and then Sarah poked her head in and saw that I was there and said, "Hey, tell the Spoutcast fans what's up."
And then she said, and tell Megan Jade.
Let me rewind. And then She was like, and tell Megan Jade, she's my very best friend, and I miss her more than anybody in the whole wide world.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I miss you too, Sarah.
I didn't mean to. No, I mean, Sarah's going to kill me.
Yeah,
when she
you just got to get your facts straight, Christian.
Well, on today's episode or podcast, we're going to do a sermon feedback on Jared's sermon this past week about the parable of the sower, which was excellent, which was also kind of the first of all the parables. We're also going to have, not of all the parables in the Bible, but like at the well, like, I think you got it. All right.
I get it.
All right. Then we're going to have the news with Kevin Tinkin. We'll do an interview with our executive producer, Andrew File.
Take that, Sarah.
That's your jealousy for bringing Andrew in, is you're being upset that you didn't talk to her today. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm bringing Andrew in for that very reason.
Right. We want to chat with Andrew today just a little bit about the kind of the Spoutcast. We want to talk to him about why he listens, what are some areas that we can improve. And Andrew is also, we talked about this before, but we're going to talk about with this with him later. But the week that I teach at the well, he's going to fill in on the sermon feedback. So
awesome.
It'll be pretty fun.
That'll be really fun. Will you be in like the corner, like looking at us so we have to say really nice things? Like we're
No, I'll probably just sit in because I'll be there that day. No.
What if you're like giving us the sign of like, don't talk about that, you know?
No, I'd love the feedback.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
Also, we'll get to your guys' one and whys. This week it was your favorite parable and why. We'll also do some announcements. And yeah, did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean,
you really?
I played golf with my brother, and my brother and I, we don't have like the greatest relationship, but we're working on it. It's been a rough like 6 months, but we had some great talks. We played golf. I this weekend. Do you play golf?
No.
Okay. Well, there's
miniature
some...
golf. I'm really
okay.
Good at
well,
that.
In golf, there's this thing called like the longest drive in like tournaments.
Okay.
And so it's basically like you win a prize.
I mean, I know what that is.
Okay. So you win a prize if you get the longest drive. I got the longest drive this like tournament, but like most other tournaments in the world give you like awesome prizes, like $250 to target, or you know, I've seen tournaments where it's like longest drive wins $1,000, like. Cash or whatever. This one was a free tire rotation at Goodyear Tires,
which you can get anyways. I feel like
for free. I
yeah. Yeah. So at Costco, I think they do free tire rotation.
I know, it's real sad, and I'm pretty bummed. But
I mean, that's awesome. You got longest drive. Did that drive like the wedge between you and your brother even more? Like now there's like this jealousy.
No. He was. I mean, we also got third place in the tournament, so he was probably stoked on that as well.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, it's just kind of a lame prize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we kind of close this segment out, I want to tell you about this week's music, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you've heard of this band, and I feel like I picked this band for one of many reasons, but one, you wouldn't make fun of me because they're not a boy band and they're not like a pop punk band, okay?
I don't know. That country music that was playing when I walked in made me really nervous.
Sorry. But have you ever heard of a band called Copeland?
Yes.
Were you ever into them?
Not really.
No. Okay. So I picked the worst
music. I wasn't into them not because like I'm like so offended by their music or anything,
right.
But just because it just wasn't a band that I got into.
Well, that is this week's music, okay?
I'm excited.
Sure. I'm sure you are. You're
yeah,
as excited
I'm
as I was when I got my free coupon for a tire rotation at Goodyear Tires.
Could have gotten that anywhere.
Right, yeah.
Could have gone to iTunes, you know? Who cares?
Copeland. I know. This is kind of lame. Well, whatever. Up next, we'll have some sermon feedback, but enjoy some Copeland. We are back here with Megan, and Kevin Tinkin decided to join us in this segment before we kind of get into your news. But this past week, the sermon was the parable of the sower. It was Matthew 13, and Jared kind of kicked off the parable series this week. And it was a great parable, a great sermon. I will say that not very many people were at church this weekend. It's Father's Day. So yeah, it was Father's Day on Sunday, right? I called my dad. And just not very many people at church this Sunday. So if you didn't catch up with this message, let us review it a little bit. Is that fair enough? Okay, great. So basically, Jared started out the sermon with talking about how there are seven parables in the Bible about the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and later on in the show, we're going to share about our favorite parables, but there's a lot of parables about the kingdom of heaven, seven in particular, and the kingdom of heaven kind of talking about this already not yet concept. You know what I'm talking about, Megan?
Yes, I do.
Kind of this, Christ is already here. He's in your life. He's present in who you are, but there's also the kingdom, which is not yet.
It's awaiting us.
Yeah, it's awaiting us. And so Jared made a great little remark in how we as believers, we focus all the time too much on, he said, we focus on the castle and not enough about the king. And really, we focus on this idea of heaven all the time. It's like, look, yeah, heaven's going to await us and we need to have an eternal perspective. But while we're here on this earth, like, we need to focus on the king. We need to focus on Christ. And so he said, as Christians, we need to focus more on the king. And in the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is more about the king than it is about the castle. So kind of started, the parable starts off talking about the kingdom of heaven as well. And then it goes into this sower basically planting four seeds. Kevin, are you familiar with this parable? The one of the seeds, first of all, the sower is God, okay, in this situation. And then one of the seeds that is planted, basically birds come up and, swipe away the seeds or whatever. Birds like seeds, I'm
eat
assuming.
Them.
Yeah, came and eat them. And Jared basically compared this to... this is like Satan in a sense. Basically, as Christians or even as non-Christians, Satan is so ever present in this world that we as believers and as non-believers, we don't ever have a chance to grow because Satan's constantly plucking people out of hearing the gospel. You kind of see that concept of the seeds there, Megan?
For sure.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Kind of Satan, even just non-Christians, just constantly plucking out non-Christians, just going like, you're not going to hear the gospel. You're not going to hear the gospel. No,
yeah, I would say, I mean, sorry, no, just steal the thunder, but the any time you can get the seed out of the ground, so to speak,
right?
You've succeeded, or Satan has succeeded. So
totally,
like when we had that situation with camping, the end of the world.
Oh
that,
yeah,
Harold
camping.
Harold camping.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's this thing that's based around, a Christian thought.
Right.
And then people kind of think this is kind of legit, but it gets the focus off of God. And it's very relevant to what they're talking about, focusing on now as opposed to the future.
Right.
Well, and if you think about the idea of like a seed on the ground, obviously it hasn't been like planted in the soil. It hasn't been watered and sunk down into the ground. Like there's obviously not a foundation. It's on the surface. Like birds can obviously see it and come and get it.
Right.
And it's just an example of like the weakness in our faith, especially with like new believers. Like there's definitely like they're working on that foundation. But if it's on the surface still, or even believers who are just very surface level, aren't really digging into the word, like they're easy targets.
Totally. And I just feel like so many people in this world are just corrupted. Maybe they wouldn't even recognize it as Satan. They would just like just corrupted by things of this world. You know, they never even they have missed the opportunity to even like be willing to like accept the gospel. Mm-hmm. They've gone way past that point and Satan has totally taken over them. And it's so hard to get them back. You know what I mean? It's just, in a sense, it's the bird plucking the seed out of the ground, same way Satan just attacks people. And I just feel like he uses things in this world to do that. Right. So Jared kind of focused on that, which was a great little thing he went on. The next one was a seed basically got planted in the rocky ground. It's very hard to grow in a rocky ground. He basically compared this to a Christian that hears God's word but has no depth to their faith, has no depth to their, and essentially mm-hmm. falls away from Christ. And he basically explained it as this. So when life comes and kind of attacks this person, or maybe something bad happens to a person's life, they instantly blame God and they just fall away from Christ. One thing happens and they're out, because in a sense, really, for a seed to grow out of a rock is extremely difficult to do. In the same way, if someone who doesn't have that foundation, one bad thing happens in someone's life and they're like, peace out, I'm away. Right. I'm gone from Christ. And I feel like that happens so much in culture today. Someone's just, you know, slowly but surely getting on fire from God, and then, you know, maybe a parent passes away or girlfriend breaks up with them. I feel like I deal with that with junior hires all the time. They're on fire for God and then, you know, a girlfriend breaks up with them.
Or something really good happens to them. Or they like,
that's an interesting concept.
They don't no longer need God. Like they got out, they had a new relationship. They were in a breakup where they found God, and then they have a new girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. That's a silly thing. But like, but then they're happy again and they find no value in having a relationship because they're no longer in need. I think I see it more with myself in the opposite way. Like when things are good for me, like I forget that I'm still dependent on God, that I still need
him. That is interesting. I have a buddy, his name's, Johnny, I don't know if he listens to the show or not. He's not a Christian. We totally respect each other. My faith, his faith. I guess I've never, when you say that, I've never thought of it that way, because he's not a Christian, and we have great conversations about him not being a believer. There's no, I've never put any pressure for him to be a believer. But the thing is like Johnny's had a really good life, you know, mm-hmm. like, I mean, Johnny's got, everybody has issues, but I don't think there's anything in his life. And you know, maybe he gets pissed if I'm talking about him or whatever, and hopefully not, but it's like one of those things where I feel like nothing's really ever bad has happened to him. We've never had a conversation where he's like real low in his life or whatever. And it's just like almost no need for Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting concept that you say, even when things are really good for someone, they just go, well, why do I need God? Everything's great for me right now.
Well, I think that's the problem with a lot of the mainstream Christianity. I know one of the things I appreciated about The Well, I'd been going to church my whole life. And I remember coming here, you know, out of high school and learning some stuff about the Bible that I'd never even thought of, you know, the Arminian versus
Calvin.
Gotcha.
That type of stuff. And it seems like so often people will place their faith in what is this going to do for me? Or people will say, well, you know, divorce rates are the same for Christians as they are for non-Christians.
Right.
And, you know, so that means that God doesn't make a difference. Mm. And it's it's like at the bottom of the at the end of the day, it's we're all sinners.
Right.
You know, we need God, and he's the only way. And it's not, he's going to, you know, make your strawberries grow bigger. Or he's going to make your house nicer, mm-hmm. or you're not going to have issues. It's just, it's the truth. It's the facts. It's not this superficial result. It's the core.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's where people get, like, where it goes wrong for people is because, you know, you're a sinner when you're rich and you're a sinner when you're poor and you're a sinner when you're sick and you're a sinner mm-hmm. when you're well.
Totally. Yeah.
But the concept of like a lot of people find solace and faith because they want things to be good. And so they have this like misrepresentation of like going to God means that I'm going to have blessings. And so like when they're weak and when they're poor, they want God because they think that will make them rich and healthy or whatever. But the reality is like either way, like in great times or in bad times, like we're still sinners. Like
totally.
The point of faith is that is redemption, mm-hmm. not like a bunch of external blessings.
And to praise the God.
Exactly.
And even like tying it back to the parable, if we don't put our foundation on that good soil, like our lives are going to be trying to grow out of rocky soil, trying to grow out of these issues in our life that we're struggling with. And Megan, really just blew my mind right there. Interesting concept.
Yeah.
I guess I only thought of it as one way, as kind of something bad happens to a Christian and they blame Christ. But there's lots of people who never really feel a need for Christ, you know? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that you're saying, you know, if it's not planted deep, then it's easily plucked out. And,
right.
You know, you have so many, and there's so many great evangelists out there, but there's a lot of churches out there that they do these altar calls. They have people come up, they pray the prayer, you know, quote unquote, and then see ya, you're
They're
a Christian
gone.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, why? I mean, why would you just throw that seed on, you know, on a rock? Like, that's what you're doing, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not gonna have long lasting effects.
Yeah.
And for me, being someone that, like, I wasn't raised in church, so had I accepted Christ and been pushed out there into the world, this never would have developed for me. I would never would have developed a foundation. But I had people daily praying for me and like coming alongside of me, for lack of a better term, like for my whole high school career after I accepted Christ, to show me what it looked like to be a Christian. And of course, like, I went through phases where I struggled or whatever, but had no one walked with me, I would have, what was this, you know, I wouldn't have known any other way.
Yeah, and God can work in any circumstances as a disclaimer. So
totally,
not
totally.
Discounting
and,
those things.
And, you know, that kind of brings up a good point, because the next kind of sower and soil here was that a seed was planted kind of in thorns. And the thorns kind of are these cares of the world. Jared compared them to money and how they kind of choke out believers. You know what I mean? Almost in a sense that as believers, we get so caught up in the things of this world, or taking our kids to soccer practice, or materialism and money and iPads and whatever, that we kind of, everything chokes out our relationship with Christ. And I think you're right, Kevin, is like, God can work through any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. However, we as believers, I think we get so caught up in other things such as materialism that it actually chokes out our very life, in a sense. And just Jared brought up a good point that we need to have the perspective of everything that we have is not ours and it's God's, you know? And just recognizing that, I think, is one of the healthiest things that we can do as believers, to recognize that, like, look, everything we have is God's, instead of thinking that, you know, well, this is mine or that is mine. You know what I mean? So that was that seed. And then the last seed was obviously the good soil. And it takes work to prepare the good soil. It takes work to do it. It takes work even as a believer to have that solid relationship with Christ. And something that was great that Jared said is that as a farmer, you have seasons. You have seasonal growth, and things grow in seasons. As believers, we need to recognize that you know, sometimes as our walk with Christ, there are seasons in our life, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just think that there's seasons where, and I don't think this is bad. I think there's seasons where we're angry with God. I think that there are seasons where we just are madly in love with God, you know, and I don't necessarily think that's wrong. I think that's having foundation in Christ and being in that good soil.
I think in order to get to know God intimately the way that he wants us to know him, like through his different characteristics, is there's different experiences where you realize, like, oh, God is merciful. Oh, right. God is just. Like, oh, God does discipline me. Like, there are different ways that circumstances and trials throughout our lives that we will get to know different aspects of God's character.
Right.
And in those seasons, like, sometimes there's seasons where we're, like, having a hard time. And sometimes those are seasons where we see, like, the blessings of and, like, God's character in that. So it's just a way that we, yeah.
Yeah, and Jared closed out the sermon with a really good thought, and we can close with this, but he basically said that this sower was kind of happy with whatever God, you know, provided, or not in the sower, sorry. He was talking about a farmer in his sermon, and he was saying a farmer was always happy whether his crops were a lot or a little. He was always happy with what God provided. And just as Christians, why can't we be satisfied with what God has already given us, you know? And just that concept of a lot of Christians think that they need to be bigger and better. They need to get involved in more and more ministries. And it's like, why can't you just be satisfied with raising a good family? You know what I mean? Why can't you be satisfied with being a great father and a good husband? You know, I feel like as a believer and someone who works for a church, I've gone through that process in my mind before. Man, I got to be the next junior high spokesperson. I got to be the next, you know, large name youth ministry. It's like, no, maybe God is just calling you to work at a church in Fresno and be a great husband and a great father someday.
Yeah, I struggle with that a lot, just because I feel like when you go through high school, you go through college, you have these expectations and things like that.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, you know, sinfully, you tie those expectations to your relationship with God, and then, you know, you grow up and you end up, you know, selling cell phones like myself.
Right.
You know, when I had these stars in my eyes for a long time, and not literally, but just doing something that was big. Hmm. And my biggest struggle, and I've talked to a lot of people, they're very encouraging. It's just like, hey, you be Christ to those people at the cell phone store.
Mm.
Now, I don't do a good job, but, you know, bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, and that is a great bloom where you're planted. And really, like, we need to all recognize that's what God's calling us to, you know? And I think Kevin, like, you know what's great though, Kevin? Like, totally from my perspective is like, yeah, you work at T-Mobile, but you're so heavily involved here at the Well.
Yeah.
Plus, you're a great husband and a great father. Your kids love you, and you brought them in last week, and like, they just love you. You know what I mean? And maybe if that's what God calls you to, then that's it, man. It's like, hey, that should be a satisfying enough life. And that, I think that's kind of tying into the, a farmer should be satisfied whether he grows 10 plants or 1,000 plants, right. You know?
Well, and I think too, like, we get so caught up. I mean, I think we're conditioned growing up to think that your job is who you are. Your job, what you do to make money is what defines you and your success rate or whatever, you know? And so, like, I've always had this plan in my head. Well, if I finish college by this age and I do this by this age and I get this and I have that, then I'm successful. And in reality, like, like someone might not ever finish college, and yet what they do with their life outside of that is so much more of value. Like, maybe they don't make a lot of money, but they have this awesome something that they do or whatever. And I just think of, like, I think of Brandon Baker. I think like, he works at T-Mobile, and yet, like, the guy is, like, passionate about acting, and he writes like crazy scripts for the Well, and he does all of these really awesome things that he doesn't get paid for. And yet, like, that's where his passion is. It has nothing to do with money. Like, he does an awesome job, like, outside of of his job, you know?
And so it's like, I just think that's Brandon Baker, I mean, Brandon and I are friends, and, like, I think he's satisfied with that. You know what I mean? Yeah, if opportunities came up, he'd be stoked. But at the end of the day, it's like, as believers, we need to just be satisfied with, like, yeah, that's what I'm doing, and that's what God has wired me to do, and that's okay.
And know? That is perfect for this season of parables, because I think that's the parable of the talents. I think, like, you know, you are, he's, Brandon is given a talent, and yeah, he might not be writing for a living, but if he wasn't writing at all, like, he is obviously excellent at that. And he does a great, he does great things for the Well through his writing. And if he was, like, squashing that because, well, I don't make money doing this, and this isn't what I, like, I don't have the right job, then he's wasting what God's given him, as we all are, if we're only focusing on, oh, we're getting paid to do this, but we're really good at this, but I'm only going to be good at something I get paid for. Like, that's a waste.
Well, thanks for the thoughts, guys. Kevin, glad you joined us for the sermon discussion.
Thank you, sir.
We hope that you bring some news next segment. You got any good stuff for us?
I got a lot of news.
Good. Can't wait, good. Kevin.
Cannot wait. All right, well, up next, we got the news with Kevin Tinkin. It's going to be a blast.
Watching your emotion in my foolish lover's game. On this endless ocean, finally love has known no shame. Returning and returning to some secret place in time. Watching in slow motion as you turn to me and say, my love, take my breath away.
Battlecast, really? Really? Are we talking about The Bachelor? I mean, have we just fallen that low? I am disappointed in you guys. So disappointed. Well, oh, yeah, side note. Hey, Christian, we got to hang out on Monday. We got to watch that show.
And now the news with Kevin Tinkin.
I'm sick. I'm sorry. It has to be a one-liner. How's
Kevin,
it going?
It's going great. Kevin, we missed you last week, but thanks for the voicemails.
I was in Vegas, you know, checking it out.
Kevin, really fast, last week while we were listening to the show, someone called into the show. I think his name was Jerry or a Terry. And I just wanted you to hear his voicemail before we kind of go on, right?
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right, just listen up.
Hey, this is Jerry here. I was calling this podcast. I just think, I think Christian's weird for liking all those boy bands and stuff. And then, you know, the girls are nice, and I think that, you should start watching some good movies, and I also think that, that Kevin Tinkin's amazing. He's handsome, and he's hilarious, and he's handsome, and he's pleasurable to the ears when I listen to him on the podcast. So that's about it. Rip, dip, skip a rip.
That guy's got good taste.
I just want Jerry to add us on Facebook. It's really what I want.
I want to interview Jerry.
Do you know Jerry, or just he's just a fan?
A fan of the
just a fan of the show.
Every once in a while, you know, you get a real fanatic.
Oh, I listened to that voicemail and seriously died laughing. It's so funny. So if you know Jerry, if you're listening, please call in more. We'd love it. We'd love to play your voicemails. We know you're a big fan of Kevin. Yeah. So
and I think you have your facts straight.
Yeah,
which is
absolutely.
Nice. To hear for once.
Kevin, give us the news. Spout out the news here, my friend.
Well, one of the news things, and we want to talk about a serious one for a second. Ryan Dunn has passed away after a drunk driving accident.
Ryan Dunn of the Jackass fame.
Yes. So he was apparently drinking and driving, and there was an unidentified passenger in his car.
Right.
And he drove off the highway, so...
I wanted to talk about this news story for two reasons, okay, Megan? I know this doesn't seem like the biggest news for you, but I think that this is actually, like, this is really bad, okay? But Roger Ebert, if you know who that is, do you know who that is?
He reviews movies, yes, Christian.
He tweeted earlier today just basically about, hey, drunk driving gets your friends killed or something like that. This was like moments after Ryan Dunn died. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know what? Like Ryan Dunn, sure, he's probably not the greatest guy in the world, but growing up, like I liked watching that show. That was like a popular show to watch growing up. It's probably not the greatest show to watch. But for me, it was like when I was in sixth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade, like if you didn't watch that show, you were not cool, right?
Well, I'll tell you, like that show is probably the closest thing to the things me and my friends did in high school.
Totally. That's why it related to us.
Yeah, well, because we were all, you know, the church boys, I'm doing air finger quotes.
Right.
And none of us were getting out, you know, going out and getting, you know, smashed every night, but instead we were, you know, dragging my buddy Jason behind my truck on a metal snow disc in a mud field.
No way. We used to do things on the back of our trucks with like a McDonald's tray.
Oh yeah,
it's so much fun. Yeah.
We actually recorded a video and played it for like the junior high group to try to get kids to go to camp, or maybe it was high school. I can't remember, but
yeah,
the youth pastor at the time, like he's like, I'm gonna get fired and then I'm gonna go to jail if you show this, but we gotta show it.
And I'm gonna go to jail.
So like, immediately after he puts the tape in and it plays, we pull it out and he went and burned it.
There you go. it's like I just feel enough. Like just with the news of his death, and it was heard earlier today, I just feel like teens, especially, and people who are fans of like Ryan Dunn and who he is, like this is like kind of a weird thing to say, but I feel like, not that this is a good thing. This is not a good thing that happened. But I feel like you can use this example and like show a lot of kids who listen or who watch Jackass or whatever and go, look, this is what happens when you drink and drive. You know what I mean? And like his car was like mangled beyond belief. It wrapped around an entire tree.
Did the passenger die as well?
Yeah. Yeah. And
they don't even know who the passenger was.
Yeah, they don't know who the passenger is because his body was burned so bad. Yeah. Another thing I read is that Ryan Dunn had tweeted about an hour or two before this incident happened, just with like a beer in his hand and just apparently just sloshed out of his mind.
Yeah.
And I just, this is one of those things where it's like, I hope that the news gets released that like he was just drunk out of his mind, that he was driving drunk, so that kids can go, this is a bad example of a person who's pretty popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it's good because these guys are kind of seen as, they're the cool kids. Like they're ridiculous, but they're the cool kids. And they are kind of portrayed as invincible.
Totally. And that's one of those things where growing up, I thought I could do anything because these guys were doing anything.
Right. And then you see like the Steve-O documentary.
Yeah.
Where he's, you know, doing whippets and he's lost. And, you know, those guys rallied around him to kind of get him out of that from well, I don't know where he is now. But I mean,
dude, his memoir is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's like a Christian, but he's definitely like has some good thoughts about Christ and total 180. Had an intervention. All those guys gave him an intervention. It's great. He's a vegan. No, you don't care about that. But
that's the proof's in the pudding. That doesn't have any meat in it.
Right.
You know. So.
I think you're right. Like these guys are portrayed as invincible and just, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, Megan? Like just people that are portrayed invincible and then they die. And it's like, this is a good example to use. I feel like I'm going to use this as a junior high guy to kind of use it in a sermon, maybe.
Yeah, because there's a great platform in his death to show kids, like, hey,
you think
you're invincible.
Is that morbid of me to say that, or?
No, I think, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, I went to a high school where we had, I feel like every single year of my high school career, somebody died because of something like this.
Right.
And I just, I think that that lesson never gets old. Mm. I remember seeing people I went to school with getting drunk and driving every single time. And every time they'd get in their car, we'd be like, give us your keys. Like, this is stupid. Like, do you want to die? I don't think that kids, like, are able to, like, understand fully that concept, as none of us are. Like, I don't think morbidly every day, like, I could die today in my car, you know?
No.
But to see that example and to see someone they look up to, like, I think it will never get old to talk about
this. I remember
we
did things in high school called every 15 minutes. Did you guys ever do that? That was, like, so powerful to me.
To see, like, a victim of, like, a bloody mess.
Right.
Like, you know, obviously it's fake, but to be able to...
I thought it was real.
Yeah, to be able to see that, like, when you see it, it becomes more real. And for a guy that had a lot of fame, like, to see that, it becomes real.
Totally. Now, on the lighter news, Kevin, I think you brought another fantastic story.
I did. You guys ready to shift gears? You want to shift it? You want to shift it up?
I am shifted.
You good?
Megan,
I'm shifting.
Four on the floor.
I am.
Megan is just crossing her fingers, hoping this is about a politician and about the world and about hunger in the world.
No, I've given up on my expectations. I am now just hoping that it has to do with some sort of farm or PlayStation. So, you know, I don't care otherwise.
Oh. Go for it.
Solar panels.
how dare you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
A real life cat burglar.
I could expect nothing less.
Is terrorizing residents in San Francisco. So
Dusty,
the 5-year-old house cat, apparently has been going around in his apartment building and taking bikini tops and gloves and socks and random things.
What's the reason behind this?
This is ridiculous because somebody did this news story and like, I'm going to get a PhD professor to interview about this. And so they asked like some guy who was
a
cat expert.
This is real news.
I want to know this reporter's name and who he works for
Is a Maui McMouse
and
or something?
Honestly, why? Like, who gave them? Who approved the story? What editor would actually say, like, that's a great story? Go get the news.
So apparently, it was found out that the cat was stealing stuff. A couple was living in the apartment building, and the wife kept getting just irate that her husband was leaving all this junk out. Just round on the table, on the floors and whatnot. And the guy was like literally like at his wit's end, like, I don't know. I'm not doing it. It must be the cat. And they kind of put two and two together. And apparently it was the cat. Dusty, you sly cat.
You know, on another note, I want to talk about cats for just a second.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
My friend Stephanie lives in Long Beach. And she
Now you're chiming in.
No,
maybe cats is the ticket. We need to have a cat store every week.
Okay, so she lives in this house, and the girls that she lives with have this cat named Oliver, and they're potty training this cat.
There's YouTube videos all over the place.
Yeah, they're potty training this cat, and they're going to loosen the handle so that the cat can flush the toilet.
Yeah, this is a thing. Check it out on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is insanity.
I mean, they
need to get a hold of
the
PhD doctor.
That's right.
Catty McCatterson.
It's just like,
the cats are going after bikini tops. Pretty soon they're going to be drinking beer and like hanging out. You know,
running
like,
for office.
For office.
Like,
let's teach them how to pee in the toilet and then we'll keep going from
Taking pictures of their junk and sending it to people on Twitter.
Obviously cats are taking over the world.
By the way, I have to give a shout out to Mr. Hank, who's my cat at home.
Oh my gosh,
should follow Mr. Hank on Twitter.
Is Mr. Hank potty trained? Is he a vegan? What does Mr. Hank do with his time?
He steals bikinis.
Is he campaigning?
No, he's not.
Mayor of Catville?
He gains weight and he roams the neighborhood shouting his praises.
Sounds like a lot of men that I know.
Yeah, that's what I do.
There
you learn
go.
From the best.
There you go. All right, Kevin, shoot us with one more news story. Hopefully
all right.
Extremely
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw a shotgun blast.
All right.
News stories at you. And we're not going to talk very quick about these, but I thought they were interesting. So a man cleaning his foot sets his house on fire.
I wonder how that happened.
He was using alcohol or something, having a quick smoke, trying to clean his foot. I don't know what was wrong with his foot. And it set his house
on fire. Oh, like rubbing alcohol.
Yes.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Bartles and James. He's like, Bartles and James, really? Did I say that?
That has like 3% alcohol in it.
That's what I drink when I'm getting down. Oh, yeah.
It's like it's making party Zima over. Sound like the party beer.
That's right. So I saw this, and then actually, like, there was all these related news stories of a guy who's trying to get a hornet's nest out of his house, and he sets his house on fire. And a guy that he thought there was a squirrel in his attic, so he was going to smoke him out. He set his house on fire. Like, anyway.
Lots of news stories about house fires.
Apparently when you're trying to kill small animals, you got to set your house on fire.
That's right.
Also, a ram gets stuck 9 feet above the earth.
I would like to see a picture of this.
Well, he gets stuck 9 feet above the earth when his horn gets caught on a power wire.
He's running down a hill or something?
Running down a hill, and the wire was, going, into the ground through the hill or whatever.
Oh, gotcha.
And this ram got his horn caught in there. But yeah, look it up. It's I shouldn't say hilarious. Suffering. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Where is that at?
That is
CNN's
in,
top news story.
The Norwegian coast.
Okay.
And the Norwegian coast.
Oh, what's your last? Say, I don't know that many rams that are hanging out around them.
So the last
St.
one,
St. Louis, lots of rams in
oh,
St. Louis.
Right. Oh, good joke.
So the last one is Chinese teen sells his kidney for an iPad 2. Do you guys hear about this at all?
I have not heard about this.
So apparently he just had his desire was so strong to get an iPad 2.
And he didn't have the money.
He didn't have the money, of course. And what's the solution? Like, the guy's a problem solver. You can't.
I wonder if in China, like, owning an iPad is like a symbol of like status in a sense.
And I'm sure it is. I think that all those countries, they're very technologically savvy and up to date. And I think it's a competition a little bit.
Well, I think
sort
it
of
is
like
everywhere.
Clothes would be here.
Right. Clothes.
I think between like girls, like what style you have, if you're wearing designer things.
If you have the up to date technological things in China, you're cool. You're
Because I've been to Singapore and in the airport, I mean, it is insane. Like the technology that is being sold there, like it is there.
Well, you sold one of your kidneys for a Prada bag, right?
Yeah, I don't have either kidney, so
who needs them?
Yeah,
just toss them out of
the way. I'm
honestly
wondering though, like, how does this kid get to the point where he goes, that person's gonna buy my kidney? Like, who do you sell your kidney to?
Can't you sell your kidney and then they freeze it and they use it when
someone contact?
I actually have an answer.
Okay,
So.
Kevin, you are a real newsman.
You guys are hilarious. You're like, you ask a question and then go, blah, 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 blah. But I love it.
All right.
I want to embrace you with my answers here. So he was on like an online post, like Craigslist, apparently. And somebody was like, we buy kidneys. 2,000 pounds.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. He came home with a laptop and an iPad and an iPhone.
And no kidney.
And his parents were like, where'd you get all that stuff? And he's like, oh, just side jobs, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, where'd you get it? And then
he lifts his shirt up and he's like.
Yeah, but I saw the video of the lady and his parents are like crying.
Yeah, like, I mean, because here's my question. I mean, maybe this is like expanding the story too much. There aren't answers for this. But okay, so then he's got medical expenses of who's actually like removing his kidney. Are they paying for that?
Oh yeah, they just
I'm sure they pay for it.
It was a back alley deal.
It's sort of like donating eggs almost.
Yeah, it was a back alley deal. Like they don't know where the men are. Like the story just said that there was three men.
So interesting. That's terrifying.
But hey, you got an iPad.
Hey. He's going to play Angry Birds like it's his job. He's going to have a lot of time to rest and read some stuff on his Kindle.
I just feel like Steve Jobs would look at something like that and think, "What an idiot."
No, he would look at something like that and like
uh-huh. No, that
he
guy's
rubs
not
his hands
impressed.
Together and goes,
look what I've created.
Yeah.
He probably has done that one. Yeah, thanks for being here, man.
You're welcome.
Anytime. My hope is that next week you would bring one serious news story just so that Megan can be, pleased. And then the other two can be about like a man farted and set his house on fire or something.
Yeah,
so.
No, death and destruction is coming.
All right. Are you cool with that? We'll do one serious one and then two. Like,
I've given up. I don't even care anymore. You could talk about like animals crawling in the well community church. I wouldn't even care anymore.
There's the kitty cat. Top news for today.
What happened to
the kitty cat?
Bring your cat to church day or something. I couldn't care less anymore. I've given up on you guys.
Megan, I think next week. And I'll propose this.
All right.
But next week, I think Megan should do the news and I can talk trash the whole time.
Yeah, you want to do that, Megan?
No.
You bring the news next week. Come on.
I'll just be back here going, wah, 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 wah.
Remember how, like, you know when people go, come on, their voice raises like an octave?
Come on. Hey, come on, Megan. You guys are upset with me for caring about the news.
I'm legitimately.
You understand that? That's so reversed.
No.
What is this? Megan. You think that I should be okay with listening about cat burglars, but if I bring up one political thing, you guys are like, oh, you're awful.
Seriously, though, Megan, bring the news next week.
No.
Please.
Okay.
I'll bring the news. Two serious news stories.
I want Megan to just bring, if she could bring one news story. One serious news story.
Come on.
And it'll be your special moment. We could have like an intro theme song.
Just
be like,
one.
News with Megan.
Come on, Megan. Come on. Hey, come on.
Just one?
One.
Absolutely not.
Oh, oh my God. All right, fine. I'll bring in a serious news story.
I like to publicly proclaim that I like you. I like you, Megan.
She keeps it classy.
I like you, Kevin.
I like you guys.
Yeah, all right. I like you,
well, yeah, up next, we've got our interview with Andrew File. Hopefully, we'll talk about some cat burglars. Mm. And yeah.
I think Andrew, I don't think he'd like this either.
No, well, you know, he's our producer.
I feel like he's a sophisticated man, and he likes interesting news stories.
I guarantee you, Andrew's listening. I guarantee you, Andrew's listening to the cat burglar story laughing right now because he's so
funny. Laughing at how stupid we are.
Yeah, well, whatever.
That's been my gig for like my whole life.
Up next, Andrew File. And,
here's the news, Kevin's stupid.
That's right.
All right. Up next, Andrew File, and enjoy some more Copeland. We are back, and we are back with a good friend of mine and an executive producer of the show, Mr. Andrew File. Andrew, how are you?
So good to be here, guys. I've dreamed of this day. So
yeah, you and Jeremiah both.
Day. Yeah.
So not Brad. No, he never once dreamed about this day.
I got in probably about the third episode. So
yeah.
He's even more old school. He just never followed through.
Right. Yeah. Just 10 minutes and I'm done. But Andrew, it's really good to have you in here. Kind of, you know, people have wondered, like, what the heck does Andrew do? And by people, I'm talking about maybe just my wife. But maybe there's other people out there that wonder, what does Andrew do? But
I see him at Ironbird quite often, and I wonder, does that guy work?
Well,
I'm kidding.
I'm just working on the podcast is what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, before we get into kind of what your role is here on the podcast, first of all, I'm at Ironbird just as many times as you are. How do I not run into Megan?
You don't go in the afternoons. We're early morning guys, but you also, she's an afternoon.
Gotcha. Have you had their scones? Have you had their scones?
I have one time. And it was so good.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's nothing like super sweet. It's great.
Yeah, well, you got to go in the morning.
You got to go at 7 a.m.
We literally get there, and they come out of the oven.
It is so good.
I've been there mid-morning. Like, I go like 10.
My little maple things inside the cinnamon maple, they're, like, literally melting off the plate. So, is this... All right. Yeah, beside the point. All right. Andrew, a lot of people may or may not know you who listen, but for those who don't know you, what exactly is your role at The Well? And maybe don't start with what your role is now, but kind of how you got involved at The Well and then kind of go from there. So we know who you are.
Yeah, totally. I, Fresno Pacific guy, went there.
Sunbirds.
Sunbirds. Woo woo. Nobody knows what a sunbird is, but
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Anyways, went there, got plugged in, started just attending. 1 year I decided to do residency.
Okay.
So did residency, rolled with the parking team. So holler for the parking team as well. And
Megan's on the parking team.
Yeah, right.
I am not.
Don't allow girls.
Do they? No, seriously, do they not?
It's frowned upon. It's a guy thing.
That's discrimination. I'm going to ask to join now and then sue the church if they
don't
let me.
That is so funny. All right, keep
that,
going.
That is, this is not endorsed by the well.
No. Okay, never mind.
But anyways, yeah, so did the parking team. Anyways, got to know some of the pastors. I ended up actually leaving, going to Bakersfield. I'm from Bakersfield. Started teaching. Randomly got a phone call one day from Mr. Bradley Bell and said, hey, you want to be our missions director? I was like, okay, what does that mean?
So, and little did you know that years later you'd be the executive producer of The Spout.
My dream has come true. That's right. This is all I've been longing for.
So Brad called you and you came out to Fresno.
So my wife and I, we'd gotten married, Denise, and we moved back up to Fresno. And for the last 3 years, I had been the missions director for The Well.
And then now what is your job now? Well, let's just say, what's your job title now? Because I know they're still trying to work out what exactly you're going to be doing.
But. Yeah, I think in the essence, it's we're really pushing a bent towards spiritual formation. So how do we help people kind of encapsulate missions, community, equipping at a campus? And so I'm moving to the Fig Garden campus as the spiritual formation director. Right. So basically overseeing groups and really trying to see groups live out mission together. So my passion for missions and passion to see people become disciples merging together under spiritual formation.
Gotcha. And then just as a side note, you and your wife are having a baby, right?
Yeah, she's 27 weeks
this
pregnant.
This is the first announcement ever. No one's known until today. So. Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's a big announcement on the Spoutcast.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, you guys get the first news here.
Right. Not even your parents know.
Yeah.
So. have you guys come up with a name?
Yeah, we're keeping it all in the DL. So okay. My wife's the pure energizer, loves the surprise, so we're not finding out the sex, and we're not telling names. So.
But you do know the name.
We have names picked out, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
William Spoutcast File.
Yeah, that was close, though.
All right,
close,
so Spoutcast at
we're
least...
We're going with Bill, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bill File.
I had this conversation the other day, but, like, you know, like, my father-in-law's name is Ward, and, like, my dad's name is Bruce, and, like, I just feel like when you're a baby, like... It's not a cute name, you know what I mean? Like, hold my baby Ward, hold my baby Bruce, you know what I mean? It's, like, kind of, like, weird, right? No? Like,
I think it was a different time.
Different time. Yeah. It was like you were expected to be a businessman from birth. Yeah. So.
You're trying to be up at the top from the get-go. Right.
Well, I always think of Bob. Like, well, who wants to call their baby Bob?
Okay, but that's, like, that starts out as a robber or a Robbie, you know, because Bob's short for Rob. Robert. Okay. Did you know this?
You just blew her mind right there.
No, I knew that.
Sure.
In the same way that Bill is short for William.
I got that. I just feel like as a baby, you'd call him William. When I was younger, we've talked about nicknames on the show before, I think. But when I was younger, my middle name is William. And like Will Smith was like the man back in the day. I wanted people to call me Will. Like Willie, like Big Willie.
Yeah.
That was kind of a dork. Anyways, Andrew.
Never would have guessed.
I loved his CDs growing up. Like, so good.
But everybody makes fun of me. He's still one of my favorite actors.
Oh, he's
the
greatest.
I just say, I love Will Smith. And they're like, Men in Black, huh? I'm like, hey, that was
a good
movie.
I love that movie.
Even Prince was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic show. All right, this is a sidetrack.
Yeah.
I've cried in 2 episodes of Fresh Prince, and to this day, I still watch them, and I cry every time. They're the greatest.
Which ones?
The episode where Will's dad comes into the picture for a day and then, like, leaves. Oh, my gosh. It makes me cry every
tugs
time.
Tugs at the heartstrings.
Oh, and then Will jumps in front of a bullet for Carlton at a bank robbery, and it's just...
The episodes that really are heartwarming for me are the ones where, like Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv, like, they have these, like, conversations with Will where, like, he totally feels part of their family and, like, that they totally love him.
Absolutely.
And I just think, like, man, he, like, didn't belong to, like, his mom and his other, like, but he, like, belongs here.
Well,
and, like,
he was
they love
born and
him,
raised in West,
you know?
Philadelphia, you know?
Born and raised, yeah.
Playground
spent most of his days chilling out and relaxing all cool, shooting some b-ball.
That's right.
Outside of the school.
That's right. All right, Andrew, sorry. So how did you... we're friends, and you started listening to The Spout around episode 3, you said. And so kind of the evolution of where I've kind of seen it as you started, not critiquing, but what's it called? Constructive criticism. Hey, here's some things you could work on the show. And that's where in a lot of shows, the different podcasts, they have people that kind of work on these back scenes, and they just construct. They talk about different, like Dave, for instance, he does our sound, you know, but he's not in the room. But we kind of said... At least I kind of said, you give me a lot of constructive criticism, you're going to be our executive producer, okay? Yeah. So what exactly do you do?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a jerk, so.
I think you're a critical person.
Yeah, no, and well, I think where it started is for me, I listen to a lot of podcasts. So, right. I mean, I probably listen to 10 to 15 a week. And so I feel like I got a good grasp of what a podcast is. And what a good podcast is.
You really just don't work, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I really just, yeah. I just sit in Ironbird all day on my computer. Right, right. So.
But you listen to This American Life or whatever, which I think is probably one of the better, I would say, podcasts around right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like.
Nobody's got a voice like that.
I
got to
throw
Glass,
Radiolab in there, too. Casey had mentioned about that. Yeah, Radiolab's one of the best podcasts.
He's a big Radiolab guy. And we chat all the time about different podcasts and things like that. But basically, this is the way I look at it. I look at it as you listen to our show every week and you go, here's some ways that you can improve. I think the one and why concept, which we've gotten some good feedback, people like that, is from you. That is an Andrew File birthed idea.
Yeah, I think some of the things of just as you guys are figuring out the show, it's some of the intro transition stuff. It's how do you link it into segments? How do you tie together the weeks and the feedback? And it's kind of all that stuff. And just trying to make it an easy listening experience.
Right. Now, Megan, this may be a little hard for you, okay? But I brought Andrew in here today for like a reason that may like sting a little bit, okay? So like, just are you going to be okay?
Am I getting fired? You're fired. Like, am I getting professionally fired over the radio?
I'm actually a bit. When you did the guest host, yeah, I was Andrew's very impressed. Yeah, very impressed by you, Megan.
Yeah, oh, thank you, you're a big fan. Okay?
But you're actually fired.
Basically, what I want is for Andrew to, in a sense, I want you to critique us a little bit. And I want our listeners to hear this because more than anything, I would like our listeners, if they have feedback, you know, my hope is that people who go to the well would listen to this. And I really like, I mean, this takes a good, like, probably from 2 to 6, I'm here. It's 4 hours out of my week. I'm not getting paid for this. And it's just one of those things where it's like, look, I want people to listen. I think it's good to give identity to people at the well. Yeah. And so I want people to listen in and go, hey, I think you guys should change this, or I think you guys should do this. Now, we're not going to take every suggestion because you basically say the show sucks and give me 15 suggestions a week, but I take maybe one or two. So maybe what are some areas? So let's start with, this is how I do with my leaders. Oh, how was the surge this past week? Well, we do what's called Delta Plus, okay? So we got the pluses, okay, and everything is good, and then the deltas, which is like, these are some things you need to work on, okay? So let's start with 2 or 3 things that you enjoy about the podcast. And this isn't to toot our horn. This is to go, hey, here's some things we're good at, and you're the producer, so.
All right, yeah. I think some of my favorite things is you guys have really good banter. So, which, you know, your pluses are always your negative, so I'll get to that
as well.
Sarah's
included in this.
Yeah, Sarah's is included in this.
She's all right.
Yeah. Well, right. Sometimes she's in Wonderland, but, right. You know,
that's 5 minutes later, she's in conversation.
That's my favorite part of the show, all right, when she comes back to land. But, good. Yeah, you guys have really good banter. I think giving people that are not a part of the circle of, like, the staff, also a part of some of the conversations, like having Brad come and having some other people come, I think it's just very helpful that people can know what's going on, get the behind the scenes look, and even if you guys can continue to roll out stuff through the podcast, that would be really fun.
Like roll out what?
Like roll out news, like stuff that hasn't been leaked yet. And I think that's something eventually
news like at the well, like
hey, we're gonna do this new program or this kind of thing.
Oh, that'd
like
be
you
rad.
guys have already done and will continue to give people the inside look at the well. And so I think that's really helpful and really good. I think another thing is you guys are hilarious, so it's funny. Like really good. You know, Mr. Kevin Tinkin has been a good addition and
good,
just
good.
It's worth listening to. Like it's time worth spent.
Some people say that the show is too long. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you guys could cut down to under an hour. So really? I think that would be a goal to shoot for, is to be an hour or less.
I just feel like I listen to This American Life, and it's an hour, you know? It's 58 minutes every time.
Yeah, but we're talking about like a dude that's been in this business for a long time.
Yes.
And nobody
has
a voice like Ira Glass. Like, that guy's voice is unreal. Yeah. I could listen to him. It could probably make me fall asleep. Like, I could listen to him for that
long.
I'm
just saying. Yeah. You know,
I think you guys could get to 45 to an hour. Would be a sweet spot.
All right. Hey, we could do that.
Yeah.
And he's not like, I mean, I think that's a good point, because I think that people can only take banter and hilarity for so long. Like,
right.
A lot of times on This American Life, like, it's not funny.
We're not during our sermon discussion. We're not bantering. We're more or less talking.
Well, right. But like the majority, I mean, we make jokes a lot. So people can only handle that for so long. Whereas if like we were really actually being like an informative podcast or something.
Excuse me?
Like it was the whole time. That was the whole thing.
Oh, so we're not informative?
No, but I'm saying if we were telling a story for the whole hour.
Right.
Like it would be a different story.
Okay. That was just a question like, that I had. You know, I listen to podcasts and I like long podcasts. Yeah. And so because it's easy for driving and things like that. And so for me, I'm kind of like, yeah, I like an hour 15, but I keep
my podcast. I mean, I skip sections sometimes. I'm just going to be honest, you know?
No, that's what we want.
Yeah. And I think
45 minutes would be like awesome.
I talk to people that don't listen or have listened. They just say it's too long. And to get people that are, I think you could get the average podcast listener into an hour 15, hour 20. If you want to get new people into it, it's got to be shorter.
See, that's the thing, because I talk with Casey about it, and Casey's like, "Yeah, I mean, I just listen. Like, it's, I mean, it's an hour 15, but it makes a workday go by."
But he's a standard podcast listener.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so I think if you're trying to, it depends the demographic, and I think err on the shorter side.
Okay.
It was just still you guys are gonna go long.
Okay.
It's just gonna happen because you have good banter. It's the pluses the
negative. Let's shoot for 50 minutes.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this segment's over, and no. Okay. So what are some other? You gave us some positives. What are some like growth areas? Some deltas, we'll call them.
Yeah. Shoot, I had one I was thinking about in the car on the ride over here. Okay. Oh, one of the things I was thinking about is you guys, I think just having the confidence that you guys are a legit podcast. I still feel like, you know, sometimes you'll do an intro to a segment and be like, hey, that was really good, huh, guys? You know? And then for 3 minutes, you'll spend talking about how we just did a good intro or, oh, we buffed that, missed that one. So I think you just knowing you guys are a great podcast. So having the confidence, the intro segments, outro segments, kind of just the nitty-gritty details.
So you're saying the transitions between each thing. But sometimes, like, we do funny transitions and we roll with it. You're just saying, just get a good transition.
Yeah,
you're
just get into it, and the meat of the show is what people want. And so having a, hey, how are we going to exit kind of talk is not, you know, sometimes
so
the best podcast.
Then we got to come – do you think that, hey, this is the spout, we're out, you think that's good?
Yeah.
All right. That was Brandon Sabo's idea. So that's what we've been trying to say, but then I am so nervous at the end. 15 episodes. I feel like we've been doing this for a while, and it's only gotten better over time.
Well, and that's the thing. I was telling you earlier, but you guys have creeped into my. I have a very set routine when I get my podcast each week. So I get in, I listen to the relevant podcast, I listen to This American Life. There's a Radio Lab. I listen to that. Those are my top three.
Right.
And more, the Spoutcast is getting higher and higher. So
I feel like that's because you're a podcast fan. I want to appeal to the well and not just the podcast fans.
Which is where you're gonna have to get shorter, more to the point,
right?
And have people that are behind the scenes that I think the well is like, oh, I didn't know that, or that was new information, or those kind of things.
I guess my biggest fear is like people checked it out right when we first started and they're like, meh, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
I think it's fair too that we haven't really like had like a giant, like a really big like Spoutcast campaign. Like we haven't really spread the news about this.
It's not
either.
Like somebody's had a sermon where at the end of the sermon they say, or at the beginning of the sermon they say, hey, my name is Christian and I, you know, do the Spoutcast.
Seriously, what do you think about that? You think that's
bad? I think you need to do it.
Okay.
I don't think we've told enough people.
Yeah.
I don't want to like, dude, I mean, I'm stoked I'm speaking, but I just feel like you've spoken before and you just know that there's this like, you don't want to say anything that's not going to get you up there again.
Yeah. And I would think if you do it in a way that's funny, like you could even make fun of the fact that nobody knows you're doing it or something like that and really make it a joke to intro yourself.
Okay.
That could be like, oh, yeah, I should check that out.
So you think
like
that's a good idea?
Oh, I think it's money.
All right. All right.
I think it's just going to shoot through the roof. Yeah. top iTunes podcast.
We will reach 100 fans at that point.
And then at the end, you should say something like, if you want to advertise for our podcast and give us money, you know,
No? Will love that. Brad will love that.
Right. I just let's do one more. Any other thoughts on just the podcast itself? Megan seems to think that fans on Facebook doesn't necessarily mean all that much, but I really feel like we should at least get 100 fans on Facebook. And with that, what would you think about us doing like a live show at Neighborhood Thrift? Not there yet.
No comment.
No comment. All right.
No, I think you guys would have 3 people there.
All right.
And your wife maybe one.
Would
of
you
them.
Be there? This guy. That's
no,
right.
I'd be there. All right. If you wanted me to be there.
Because we're bros, dude.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I'd be there for you.
I have some feedback.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I was thinking, like, and we have these conversations every week, but I think, like, ways that we can be put out there a little bit more to even gather fans or, like having a picture of the three of us, like, per episode, like some kind of cool creative, like, hey, this is the, like, something that allure, like, is alluring, you know, like, oh, these, this is the face of the podcast. Like, this is Christian, this is Sarah, this is Megan. Like, they do this. So having a picture and, like, having a brand, like, you know, kind of like.
I think you just create a big scandal, the podcast scandal. So it just, you know, news around Fresno just becomes a podcast scandal.
What does that mean?
You know, like Anthony Weiner, just the scandal. You guys got
to
create
some.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
But
we
need to be the ones to create it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
We got this.
We need to take a picture of the three of us and put it on our Facebook. So they put a face with a name. Like, we're not just like these voices.
I'm just a voice.
Well, you don't have to be in the picture then. You're not even that cute.
What I would do is turn over your Facebook page to like a fan that like is all about it. And maybe they'll start doing like. Engaging with the fans.
Yeah, just the Facebook is tough because I feel like I'm the only one editing it and stuff. And Sarah actually did post from his. You have posted when? Never. All right. So thank you. I want it to be interactive. Yeah. I know other like podcast Facebook pages are interactive. You know, I'm just like, I know we have people that listen that don't talk about it. You know what I mean? Or that don't even like us on Facebook. And I think they just listen and they're just like how I am with This American Life. I've never emailed in. I've never said anything, you know, but I listen on a consistent basis. Yeah. It's just one of those things where I just want people to know that like, we want to hear from you guys and we want to hear your feedback and things like that. Kind of transitioning a little bit, Andrew, but I'd mentioned this to Megan earlier, but when we kind of talked about the sermon and me teaching on, July 6th, which is the Wednesday and then the 10th, and be looking for me and I'll make the Spoutcast. If you listen to the Spoutcast, I hope you like chuckle at least a little bit when I mention that. All right. But on the 10th, you know, I'll be giving my sermon on the parable of the persistent widow. And then the next day, I think it'd be weird if I did my own sermon feedback, right?
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, it's the greatest. And like that guy.
I'm so good, man.
So what we thought would be cool is if we brought you in to do the sermon feedback, because you are executive producer. And Kevin Tinkin, really trying to have a serious conversation with him is a difficult thing. So.
You just hurt his feelings.
I know, I just hurt his feelings.
He's going to take Jeremiah's knife and come in here.
I know, exactly.
Hello? Who said that?
But my hope is that you would come in and join us for the sermon feedback. And I'll even step out of the room. Okay? Is that fair?
So we can say anything we want.
You could say anything you want.
Yeah, but he's going to be on the other side of the glass glaring at us the whole time.
No, I will get out of the way. But are you cool with doing that?
I'd love to do that.
And don't be a jerk. All right?
Hey, I won't.
All right, fair enough.
As long as you have a good sermon, so.
As long as I say that I'm Christian Warren, I'm a middle school director here. I also host a podcast called The Spoutcast. Not many of you guys have heard about it. But
you got to work on your jokes. Maybe that should be the feedback, too. What jokes should you do to intro the Spoutcast?
What jokes should I do to intro the Spoutcast or the sermon?
Or sermon,
All right, either one. Well, kind of along the lines of the parables and things like that this summer, we last week had thought of, hey, since we're going through the parables this summer, and Jared kind of did the parable of the sower this last week, we thought, hey, let's talk about what our favorite parables are and why, and doesn't have to be a crazy in-depth conversation. Just like, hey, what are your favorite parables and why? And some of our listeners chimed in with their feedback as well. So, Megan, why don't we start off with you, okay?
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah. I knew you were going to do that. And so I was like preparing like, okay.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
And you know what? This week
you guys should see Megan's Bible. It looks like it's been to hell and back. Like it's so
literally.
All right. Shoot.
You know what, Christian? I take that as a compliment. It looks like I've read it a lot.
No, I'm sure you actually haven't read it a lot, and it's just in your car because sun is like
beaming
down.
Drive over it every once in a while. I want people to think I read this thing.
It's like me when I played peewee football. Everybody had those scratch marks on their helmet, and I took a bike tire and like spin the wheel and like put my helmet up against it.
That is awesome.
I need to appear like I read this guy.
All right, shoot with your favorite parable and why.
Okay.
You don't have to read the whole thing, but I guess it's pretty short. Go for it.
Gosh. The parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And I think that is just such a great example of how the outpouring of our faith should be. Like, we have so much joy that we would sell everything we have to be sold out for Christ, to buy that field and we have a concept that we understand that, like, we are living for the kingdom, that is the most important aspect of our lives, and that we would sell everything we have for it. And I just think that shows, like, you're sold out, your dedication, like, I want to live that way.
Totally. I was joking earlier, but I'm serious. It is one of the shorter parables. And I said
short
to,
and sweet.
I said to Megan, it's like picking Jesus Wept as your favorite Bible verse or something. But this summer, I believe someone is teaching on not that parable, but there's one below it, I believe, about the pearl of great price, right? Mm-hmm. No?
Yes.
Okay. And they're very similar, sort of.
Yeah.
And so that'd be interesting to have a sermon feedback on a similar parable to the one you love a ton. So mm-hmm. looking forward to that discussion there, Megan.
Yes, me too.
Good.
Why'd you go with the field versus the pearl?
Yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily have a reason for that. I just think, like, I just like the concept of, like, selling. I mean, I don't really relate as well with a pearl, you know? Like,
but you are wearing to me, pearl earrings right now.
I am, you're right. And my name actually means pearl. But, like, you know, like, I don't really relate as well with, like, selling everything to buy this, like, fine piece of jewelry. Like, right. To me, like, a field, like, that's your life. Like, right. it just is such a bigger picture to me, which, I mean, maybe it just hits me differently than
connects
a piece of, like, jewelry. A pearl, it doesn't have the same value to me, I guess.
Totally. That's probably why Jesus used both.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah. Jesus is kind of smart.
Kind of a smart guy.
Andrew, let's shoot with your one and why. What's your favorite parable and why?
Yeah, I love the story of the prodigal son. I think I didn't really understand it much or just only understood one side of it until, you know, a couple years ago I read Tim Keller has a book called Prodigal God.
Right.
I just bought that.
So good. And so what he talks about is that there's two sides to the story. There is the son that runs away and comes back. And so, you know, this idea that God loves us and is pursuing us and will always welcome us back. But also there's the story of the side of the older brother that had followed all the rules, but he did it for the wrong reasons. He still didn't love the father. And,
right.
I grew up in a Christian home and kind of really connected with that story and realized I can do all the right stuff. I've always been that good guy kind of mentality. But if I don't do it because I love Jesus and love the father, I'm doing it for the wrong reason. So very convicting and really hard-hitting.
I mean, I think we go through that a lot with the junior hires. Just, you know, just really feeling like the gospel is almost a set of rules or whatever that you have to follow. And, like, when we treat someone better because, you know, they're kind of fallen away from God or whatever, we pray for them. And they're like, no, I come to church every single week. And it's like, well, it's not about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Something I love about that parable is the father itself. I think it's like the rock of the whole parable. And I read the same book and it's just so good. And I love reading just about the father, how he loves unconditionally, whether you run away from God or whether you're this, you know, hell bent on rules or whatever. I love the father's role in that parable.
Yeah. Totally.
And what I think is great about that one too, is that there's definitely like, and this sounds kind of silly, but there's something for everyone. Like every single, and I know that's the point of the parables, but every single person like has like either been a son or a father or an older brother or something like that. There's something, everyone relates to a character in that story.
He gives that parable to the disciples and the Pharisees.
Yeah, as he's actually talking to the Pharisees, and as he tells the parable, he actually ends the parable with the older brother not knowing, and the Pharisees actually know that he's talking about him, and so they're upset at the end of the parable.
Well, I wonder if the disciples are there too, hearing about it. I guess, you know, they're lumped into there a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, the crowd and the Pharisees.
Right,
specifically it is actually more towards the Pharisees than anybody else.
My favorite parable is along those lines, but before we get to that, Jeremiah sent in an email. His one and why was actually the same thing. He says, hey guys, thanks again for having me on the show last week. It was a blast. My favorite parable is the parable of the prodigal son. I know this story too well. I'm always amazed at God's love and most of all his mercy for us no matter what we've done. And just kind of similar to that God character, that father character in there. My favorite parable is along the same lines as yours, but it's actually about the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep. And I just love the imagery. I think just like you like the imagery of kind of the hidden field and the treasure and things like that. For me, the imagery of the 99 sheep like staying here, and it's like this I'm totally drawing a blank on what the shepherd leaves.
This is his favorite parable.
He's read it a lot.
He's read it a lot.
The shepherd.
Sorry. The shepherd leaves his 99 and he goes and gets the one. And I just love that concept. And for me, I'm not that good at it. I'm more comfortable around the 99, if I can be honest. And like to go and just even present the gospel to someone who's lost. I feel like the gospel is all about seeking and saving the lost. And sometimes I forget that, you know, I get lost in my own Christian bubble. And for me, it's like that just always reminds me, leave your comfort zone, your bubble, your friends, your Christian friends, and seek those people that are lost, that don't know Christ. And I just love that concept of just leaving the 99 and going to find the one. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't know, I just relate to that one better, more than I do the lost coin and the prodigal son. So, I mean, they're all kind of in the same mix a little bit there. So,
yeah, it's amazing to think of even, I think I've heard a lot of people talk about even how reckless it is to leave the 99 for the one, but how reckless the love and pursuit of God is.
Absolutely. I wonder, just even speaking to like someone who like maybe herds cattle or a thing like that, I wonder what goes through their mind to leave 99 cattle or whatever, or sheep, and actually go find one. You know, I bet you that's not an easy process for them. And I'd love to, you know, chat with somebody like that who kind of deals with those animals. But that's kind of our one and the why for this week. If you guys want to chime in on our one and why, or you want to chime in on kind of feedback for the podcast, email the spoutpodcast@gmail.com. Okay. Our next week's one and why is going to be our favorite blog and why. Okay. So this might be a little crazy.
Do you ever have people give feedback on the Facebook page?
We do. Yeah. A lot of people will like chime in as well. Nobody did this week, but before we go, we got one more one and why, and this is why, like how, remember how I said earlier, like, hey, people listen, but they never email in. I mean, this is 15 episodes in and, Michael Elizondo, Turlock campus pastor, he emailed in and he's like, what's going on, Christian, Sarah, and Megan? Great job on the Spoutcast. Don't know if I have a favorite parable, but the first one that popped in my head was the parable of the hidden treasure and the great pearl. Yep. Really two parables that were told back to back to make the same point, emphasizing the extremely great value of the kingdom. And he just goes on to say how much he loves it. He basically says, how amazing would it be if we lived this crazy faith out and loved nothing, absolutely nothing more than Christ. And then he says, powerful, much love to all you in Fresno from Turlock. I hope every time he does his core groups in Turlock, he goes, you guys should check out the Spoutcast.
Yeah.
I bet you he does that.
Well, that's how he's getting the word out about it. Right. Well, you know.
Maybe we're like huge in Turlock.
Maybe he burns the DVD CDs every week and just gives those out to people.
Oh, I hope so. That's what I do to people. Yeah. Hey, please listen to this show. It's really good. I should stop burning the CDs for people, but I just want people to listen. Yeah. Once again, if you guys have any feedback on the show, or you want to send in your one and why next week, which is your favorite blog and why, or you want to chime in again on your favorite parable and why, email the spoutpodcast@gmail.com or 559-321-SPOUT-7768. Andrew, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Keep up the good work. I listen every week.
I know you listen every week, and we appreciate you being here. Yeah. Executive producer Andrew Feil.
You don't think they're right. Hey Amanda, why are you staring at your telephone tonight? Do you feel like turning it off, turning off all of the lights? Well, pin your wings down. If it's
all right, we are back. We're going to close out the show with some emails and some announcements. Once again, we only do our drawings every other week now. So, you know, Michael and Jeremiah, you'll be added. But, you know, I noticed somebody didn't email us in this week. Did you?
Yeah, I'm really upset about it. Yeah. Wes Crockett, where are you?
Yeah. Mm.
You broke
Kevin,
tradition.
You know how Wes emails in every week, doesn't he? This is a sad day for us. I just feel like we lost a fan. Maybe we lost a fan.
It's like eating French fries without any ketchup. You know?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Still good, but it's just like.
Did you ever see that movie Big Daddy?
Yes.
Back in the, remember that kid eats a bunch of ketchup and he tries to loogie it down? Every time
I eat ketchup. Oh my gosh, I want to throw up.
Every time I eat ketchup, I want to make a loogie that almost hits the ground.
This sounds like a good Saturday afternoon for me.
More repulsive than spit.
We did get one more email from a friend of mine, and he has a lot to say here. So I think it actually involves everybody here. But last week, this guy emailed in basically upset with me because he's like, Meg is a hipster. Christian, you're an anti-hipster.
Oh, Andrew.
No, his name's Taylor.
Oh.
His name was Taylor. Sorry. Anyways.
Because Andrew wrote in once and said that you're a kid, I'm a hipster.
Yes, he did that as well.
Yeah.
So we got this email from Taylor, and it starts out very funny. But he says, unfortunately, I have some grass-fed beef with the show, which is a little bit of a vegetarian-type joke.
Quite clever.
He said, I'd like to start off by saying that, Christian, you have completely redeemed yourself in this episode, last episode. I didn't cringe once at anything you said, but there was someone else that really upset me. And I prefer if Megan didn't speak another word of movies, film, cinema in any capacity.
Wow.
The fact that you had the audacity to compare Ferris Bueller's Day Off to Meet the Parents is reason enough to have you never speak another word.
Wow. Kevin, I was only giving an example. I don't think they're in I don't think they're in the same genre. I was only saying that when bad things, like when there's like a lot of, what's the word? Like, intensity in a movie where you could feel like uncomfortable or someone's gonna get in trouble. Like,
right.
I just don't enjoy it. I get anxiety.
It's fine.
So I'm not comparing those two movies. I'm just saying, like Meet the Parents, right. Ferris Bueller's Day Off does the same thing to me. I get anxiety.
You get anxiety watching Ferris Bueller's Day
Off? Yes, it bothers me. Like, I get anxiety when people.
You probably wouldn't like horror films then.
I don't watch scary movies either. Yeah. Like, I just don't like anxiety-ridden movies. Like, they make me feel uncomfortable, and I don't enjoy it.
What would you say the highest point of anxiety comes in the movie?
In Ferris Bueller?
With the car.
When he steps in the dog poop. When he steps in the mud.
It, like, makes me feel like, I just, like, ooh, I don't like it.
Fair enough.
Mr. Peterson.
And, like, that's fine. I actually, when I watch Ferris Bueller, I like it. I think it's a funny movie, but I wouldn't watch it all the time because I just like.
No, fair enough.
You know?
Can I continue reading here for a second?
Fine.
There's a cat that flushes the toilet and Meet the Parents.
I hate it.
I'm just going to tell you.
All right. So he says, I'm very angry on your review of that movie. I'm asking you as a faithful listener to sit down and watch that movie again. Not only is it one of the greatest coming of age stories, but it also has one of the best of all time, best all around casts of all time.
Mm.
He says, watch it for Charlie Sheen's character alone. Don't make any remarks about his current situation. The fact that he is an incredible actor with a slew of great movies. Okay.
That's a really bold, like,
he's pretty upset about this.
Taylor
also has a podcast. It's called The Movie Argument, and so he talks a lot about movies.
How old is Taylor?
He's my age.
So he's younger than me.
So how old are you?
25.
Okay, yeah, I'm 24. I think he's 23. So yeah. He said, please just give
that
it another chance.
That movie wasn't even like, didn't, I mean, that movie was not even like a mark of his childhood.
He watched it when he was one. He says, please give it another chance. He says, please give it another chance before making outrageous comments like you have, Megan. He also said Tom Hanks has been in 63 movies and TV shows. So that was Taylor's email. I thought I just wanted to comment on it because I knew you'd be really upset. But let's just close out the show here really fast. A couple of quick things. Megan, why are you so upset?
Because this guy never writes in and never writes in and says, Christian, how could you love prom? How could you talk about Pirates of the Caribbean?
That's what we're here for.
All of these things, all of these awful
Didn't you hear Jerry's voicemail?
One comment and I say, honestly, like movies that like it gives me anxiety. Like I didn't say the movie was terrible. I just said it gives me anxiety.
Jerry's voicemail said that he called me that I liked boy.
Well,
games.
I'm just saying this guy, Taylor, calls me out.
Has he been listening?
And he's a faithful listener. Has he listened at all?
He had to replace his keyboard after he wrote that. I mean, it was like dang, dang.
Yeah, apparently he's so angry.
Hey, as we close out the show, a couple quick things. We got some summer connecting events that we've talked about here on the show before, but remember, there are connecting events at the Fig Garden campus. They play volleyball all the time. It's a lot of fun. Look for that on Facebook or at thewellcommunity.org. Also, middle school, high school, summer activities start up this week. So that's going on here. Last thing, if you want to sign up for winter exposure trips, you can do that at thewellcommunity.org. But last little
What's winter exposure? Is that like Polar Bear Club?
winter exposure. No, like winter exposure mission trips.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just picked like call guys mission like trips. Exposing themselves in the winter.
That's like, really funny because that's why I started laughing a minute ago because yeah. I made that joke in my head, but you said it out loud.
Woo, that's what I do. Filter
winter,
free.
You want to be a part of winter exposure.
The world's crazy like that. That's so right. If you want to sign up for that, wellcommunity.org. Also, make sure you tell your friends about us on Facebook. Tell them to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thespoutcast. Last week, I talked to you guys about iTunes and searching for us on iTunes and writing us a review. We got one review last week. So whoever wrote that, maybe it was Jerry that wrote that.
Biggest Shane West fan.
Huge Shane
ever.
West fan. No, that's me on iTunes.
Yeah,
I'm the huge
Shane
West.
I don't think you want to say that out loud anymore.
That's all right. Also, add us on Twitter at thespoutcast. Also, last thing, if you want to email in your one and why this week, remember it's your favorite blog and why, email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call us at 559-321-7768, which our new friend Jerry does a lot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the show.
And if your name is Taylor, you're mean.
All right, well, Kevin, thanks for being here with us today, and
yes,
as well as Andrew Files. This is The Spout. We are out. Bye-bye. Do you feel hollow when you think of how I